We saw the Gemara yesterday, if you have an Ovid Kachavim Bachalom, so the Gemara says since the Ovid Kachavim is not Mekabel Tuma, so therefore he's Chaitzis Bifnei Atuma. If it would have been Yisrael Bachalom, he's Mekabel HaMekabel Tuma, Eino Chaitzis Bifnei, but the Ovid Kachavim is not Mekabel Tuma. So Tosfos, the Baal Maskal, Ovid Kachavim was bothered with Akasha. On the third line, it says, "Bavgat Recham, Masam Tizavim V'Chol Divrayim." They answer, "Kibben Derais Elo Mekabel Tuma, It's Chaytzis Bifnei Atuma." So we pointed out, it's the fact that the Zav is that the Nochem Adinik Zav is not even with the Rabbanan. It's not really Kasha. It's not that the Nochri is mekabel tuma. Tuma ziva is a tuma hayotzal migufa. Person has ziva, becomes tummy. It's not that the ziva comes out of his body, and it's metame him. A balkari is a big machlokes rishonim on the first daf in Bava Kamma. A balkari, the Mishnah on the first daf in Bava Kamma, the base on Menalv. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah that there are three ovas atuma hasheretz vashich vazera v'hatomei meis. So the Sheet Mukubetz quotes the Rishonim. Why does it say Shich Vazera? The Tipas Keri that comes out of the male body, the male organ, is the status of an Avatuma. Why does the Mishnah say the Balkari is an Avatuma? Like it says, Tommy Mace goes on a person. So why don't you say the Mace is Avatuma? If I attend the funeral, I become an Avatuma. Whenever the tumor is transmitted, it goes down a Madrega. So why doesn't the Mishnah say that the Balkari is an Av HaTumah? So the Sheet Mukubetz claims he's not an Av HaTumah. Sheet Mukubetz claims that the Sheikh Vezer is an Av HaTumah. When it comes out of the body of the man who becomes the Balkari, it's Metamehim B'Maga. Calls not it's inside his body, it's Beis HaStorim. There's no Maga B'Beis HaStorim, it's not Metameh. When it comes out, it's Metamehim, and because the tumah is transmitted, whenever the tumah is transmitted from one person to another, from one thing to another, then it goes down a Madrega. That's the first daf in Bava Kamma, that by Tuma, whenever it's transmitted, it goes down a Madrega. It's all the same, Lavka Yotzeber. That two different types of categories are Ovis and Tolvis. That's famous from the Nachlas David. Nachlas David is a sefer on Bava Kamma and on Bava Metzia by a Talmud of Rab Chaim Valojina, Rab David Tebel. So he explains that by Malecha Shabbos, there are 39 Ovis Malachas, and they're told the same Kayetzer, and Toldus have the same deal. Why? Because the Toldus mean that 39 Ovis means there are 39 categories of Malachas, then there are certain activities that fall under that category. That's the heading of the category. And the Toldus are the same as the Ovis, they fall under the same category. The same thing, there are Abba Ovis and Zikin. Then the Gemara says, there are Toldos of the Nezikin. So the Arba Ovis Nezikin, Shor, Bar, Mab, and Hever are four categories of Nezikin, and whatever is sufficiently similar to Karen is Dinu Ki Karen. Whatever is sufficiently similar to Eish is Dinu Ki Eish. Whatever is sufficiently similar to Bar is Dinu Ki Bar. So the Toldos means there are four, Ovis means you have four categories, and Toldos means it falls under that category. But the Toldos by Tuma means the Tuma is transmitted. The Mace is Avi Avos HaTuma. I attend the funeral, so the Tuma is transmitted from the Mace to be. So if it's being transmitted, it goes down to Madrega. Then I shake someone else's hands. I make the other person into a Rishon LeTuma. Then the Rishon LeTuma touches some food. He makes it into a Sheni LeTuma. The Sheni LeTuma accidentally touches some Truma, makes it into a Shlishi. Shlishi touches Kodesh, makes it into a Revi. Being transmitted, so whenever the tumor is transmitted, by definition, it goes down a Madrega. So this is there, that's he explained, that's Pshat and the Gemara, that the two different types of Ovis and Toldos. The Toldos, which fall under the category, have the same din as the Ovis, but the Toldos, where it's being transmitted from one to the other, by definition, has to go down a Madrega. Taisus there asks Akasha, it's relevant to our Taisus here. There's a din of Cherev Hariyu Kecholim. The Pasuk says, if a person in Parshas Chukas, beginning of Parshas Chukas, has a dinam of Tumas Meis and a dinam of Paraduma. Normally, when a person is tamei, he has to go to a mikveh or a mayon. He doesn't need anybody else's assistance, unless he can't walk down the steps by himself, but he doesn't need any assistance to become tor. He can jump into the mikveh, the mayon, on his own. But if he's tamei meis, he needs someone else, for he's a tohar ala tamei. Somebody has to be mazeh, pour aduma water on him, shlishi shvi, and then he's able to go to the mikveh. After the hazor shlishi shvi, then he can go to the mikveh. Before the hazor shlishi shvi, he can't. So the din is that one, the mace is called Avi Avos HaTuma, and one who attends the funeral, the tumah goes down, he becomes an Av HaTuma. So the Pasuk says, one who touches B'chalal Cherev, Chalal means a dead body, who is a person who was murdered. A mace is he died, whether he died naturally or unnaturally, he's called a mace. But Chalal means he was murdered, he was killed by someone else. So halal cherev means one who touches a dead body of a person who was killed with a sword. So the Gemara has a tradition. Why does it mention he was killed by the sword? If he dies a natural death, the same did. Gemara says, no, it tells you the chiddush that cherev harev kecholo, that the cherev, the sword, which is metal, cherev has the same din as the chol, even though usually the tumas meis, when it's transmitted to someone else, goes down a madrega. So the other person, or the other kli, let's say there's a person in a room, and there are kalim there. So what's the status of the kalim? Should be the same as the person. Just like when the tumah reaches the person in the same room, I say he becomes a rishon tumah, goes down a madrega. He's not avi avos. He becomes an av tumah. Mace is an avi avos tumah. When I attend the funeral, I become an av tumah. When I touch someone else, he becomes a rishon tumah. So if you have kelim in the room, they probably become also an av hatuma. So the one exception to the rule is cherev harei kechol. If it's a metal sword that he was killed with, so then the cherev becomes avi avos hatuma. So one who touches the cherev becomes an av hatuma. You don't say the tuma goes down. So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. So some Rishonim, if you look in the big Mishnayos, they have on the side a commentary from one of the Bali Atayis who writes something that's not correct. All the Rishonim say it's not correct. He says that this din of cherev harei kecholol only applies to the cherev with which he was murdered. But if you have metal kelim in the room, that's not a din. This person dies a natural death, and in the same room you have metal forks and knives. So the forks and the knives become an avatum. They don't become Avi Avos HaTumah. Cherev harei kecholol only applies to the cherev with which he was killed. So the Rishonim say it's against all the Mishnayos in the Halakha. The Feirush wrong. So the question is, so when do you apply cherev harei kecholol? So in our daf, the Ramban quotes this big machlokes of Rishonim. You don't really need a Ramban if you know Psochem. In the end of the first parak of Psochem is a sugya about Panin is Gan HaKoedim. So there it's Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos about the following topic. And if you look in the Rambam, it's Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, and you're a day. The Shach quotes it. You don't have to know the Gemara with the Rambam and the Ravid. And if you learn you're a day, Hilchus Tumas Kohanim. So the Shach quotes that there is a Machlekes, two opinions in Tosfos, but the Cher, Harei HaKecholol, applies only to metal kelim that are in the same room. Or it applies to begodim, it applies to tables and chairs made from wood, it applies to anything except for kli cheres. Kli cheres, the Torah tells us, is different. So on a kabel tumah from the inside, not from the outside, and it can't be toivel on a mikveh. Kli cheres is always different. And there are other differences also. We had in the first parak a difference between kli cheres and other kelim. More differences. So that's what many Rishonim hold. The cherev harei kecholol applies to all kelim, even to begodim, unless it's such a cheap kli, like a kli cheres. So there it doesn't apply. Cherev harei kecholol. But there is a din of cherev harei kecholol, that the mace is avi avos hatumah, and if there's metal forks and knives in the room, everybody agrees. If it's kli mateches, then you say cherev harei kecholol, the cherev becomes avi avos hatumah. So Tosfos in Bava Kamma, that base of a base, asked the kasha, Rabbi Natan, I think, asked the kasha there, what happened to the rule that by tumah, since the tumah is transmitted from one to the other, by definition, it has to go down a madrega. It has to be told the same, lavka yotzben. It's a tolda because it's being transmitted, so it loses in transmission. It has to go down. So how can it be that the maces of the avos hatumah and the metal forks and knives on the same level should go down a madrega? So Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam answers there, it does go down a madrega, The cherev harei kechol cannot make another cherev harei kechol. The mace can make a cherev harei kechol. But if you take this fork and knife, they take the mace out. The person died, you call the cherev kadisha, so they come and they take the mace out. And then you bring in new pots and pans, new clay matechas into the house. Do you say that the metal pots and pans that were there, and the metal forks and knives that were there before, amitame, the new metal kelim, but ohel also cherev harei kechol. Cherev harei kechol makes another cherev harei kechol. So Rabbi Natan says, no, that's the limit. It doesn't go so far. It does go down a madrega. Here there's also this tesis over here. Bechobis, there's a tesis diba hamaschel bechobis. Yeah, there's a famous Rabbi Natan. And the Rashba here writes that all the Rabbani Tzorfas agree with the Rabbi Natan. that the Rabbi Natan came up with a chiddush that cherev harei, just like a cholol, just like a dead person, a dead body is matami ba'ohel, whoever's in the same room becomes tamei. The mace is avi avos hatume, I'm in the same room, or the kelim in the same room, so that we become av hatume. So if there's a cherev, let's say someone attended a funeral and he had with him a fork or a knife, and now he becomes, the person who is in the room becomes an av hatumah, but the fork or the knife that he has in his pocket, if it's made from metal, then it becomes avi avos hatumah. So it's dino kemeis. So let's say when he comes home, is that cherev harei kechol that he had? He had a metal spoon in his pocket. Why? Akashi, he's in the middle of eating ice cream and he went to the funeral. He has a metal spoon in his pocket. If you have plastic spoons, plastic is not mekabel tumah because the Chumash doesn't mention any material that's not mentioned in the Chumash, like glass. Glass kelim are only mekabel tumah in the Rabbanan. The Gemara says Shimon ben Shetach was a chief rabbi at a certain point. So when it was under his, during this mom, the times of the Tozi end, the Bayesheni. I think his brother-in-law was Yane HaMelech, no? His sister, Shlomtzian HaMalka, was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach, and she married Yane HaMelech. Yane HaMelech was a Meshugana. So he was Bizman HaBayis. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, at the end of the first paragraph of Shabbos, the Gemara has a lot of history there. So the Gemara says that his Bezdin, when he was the head of the Bezdin HaGadol, the Sanhedrin made Exera, that glass kelim are mekabel tumah midrabban, and I told they're not mekabel tumah. So according to the klal that Taisus says over here, whenever the dover haroy lekabel tumah min ator, it's not mekabel tumah, it's mekabel tumah midrabban. It can be chaytze, it's bifnei atumah. Taisus says it by the akum. They said that line in Taisus was important. They wrote in the Ramas Chalovik Achavman the third line. So let's say you have a glass kli blocking the window. So you'll say it's a dover she'ena mekabel tumah. Just because mekabel tumah drabbanan, that doesn't count. And a Torah is not mekabel tumah, so the whole tumah is only make believe. It's a make believe tumah midrabbanan. In truth, it's not mekabel tumah. So here there's a big. It is a big machlokes to Rabbi Natan and the Dima Maska b'chavis shel mateches hikshar Rabbi Natan. The Gemara says that you have a chavis shel mateches. That should be, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said if it's a chavis of kli cheres, and the top three lines on the Abchof HaMenal, if you have a chavis shel cheres, the Gemara says, and it's because you have a window that's open, so the tumah can go from one room to the next. So if you have a chavis shel cheres there, so the Gemara said it depends on which direction is the chavis shel cheres leaning. If the opening is towards the room where the mace is, then the cheres is mekabel tumah mitocho from the inside. Then it's dover hamekabel tumah and a chaytzeh b'fnei tumah. The tumah penetrated it and goes through to the other side. But if the chavis shel cheres is in the other direction, even though theoretically the chavis is a dava makabel tumah, but right now it's not being makabel tumah. Kli cheres not makabel tumah from the outside, so therefore it's called dava she'ena makabel tumah. So it is chaytzitz b'fnei atumah. So the Gemara says that We're talking about ala de puma lagav. Gemara says we're talking about a situation that the opening of the klicheres is towards the room where the mace is, so therefore it's a dover hamakabel tuma. Gemara was explaining in that mishnah. It says you have a kupa rechavis that's full of tevin or grugris. So we're discussing whether the tevin and the grugris achoitzes b'fnei tuma. Why are we not discussing let the kupa and the chavis itself be choitzes b'fnei tuma? The Rashi said over there, we're talking about a kupa and a chavis, which is a dover hamakabel tuma. So that's what the Gemara was working out the details. Chavis usually used to mean, chavis in the days of the Gemara used to be earthenware vessels. It used to be chavis, stam chavis, you can have a wooden barrel also. But first the Gemara thought that it's a stam chavis, is a chavis shalcheres. So then the Gemara said, well, it's going to depend which way it's open. That the Mishnah is assuming that the kupa and the chavis are not mekabel tuma. So why is the chavis not mekabel tuma? So this the kupa, the chavis are not choitzitz b'fnei tuma. Why not? Because it's dav hamakabel tuma. So, but the klicheres depends on which direction it's open. Then the Gemara says on the third line, second line, be boy seima. Maybe the olam de puma legavach maskin b'chavis al mateches. Not every chavis is going to be cheres. Usually a chavis means shalcheres. But if it's chavis al mateches, so it's mekabel tuma from the inside or from the outside. Because it doesn't matter which direction it is. Chavis al mateches. So it's mekabel tuma. So the Rabbi Natam is bothered with Akasha in the second Tosfos on Chof HaManal. Hiksha Rabbi Natam. So what is the discussion in the Mishnah here? So the Chof is in the Kupa Mekabel Tuma, so therefore they cannot be Chotzes B'fnei Tuma. So we're discussing maybe the Tevin is hay that the horses eat, or the Grugus HaSeruchim. It's not royal achilas sodom, it's not royal achilas behema, it's a sliu. We're not going to feed it to the animals. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah discusses when are the grogris and when is the tevin choitzitz b'fnei atumah. So Tosfos says that, hikshah b'inatam, how can the grogris of the tevin be choitzitz b'fnei atumah? It's contained in the barrel. The barrel itself is a cherev hareu kecholom. Once he says shalmateches, so chav shalmateches l'choladeis has a din of cherev hareu kecholom. So forget about what does it help that the grogris in the tevin maybe is going to be choitzitz b'fnei atuma. He plans to leave it there permanently, but the chovish el mateches on the outside has the din like a mace. So that should be metami ba'ohel. So Rabbi Natam came up with two suggestions, both chidushim in halacha. Question whether he's right or not. So that Tosfos, that's where the Ramban quotes that famous letter that Rab Chaim Cohen was the Talmud of the Rabbi Natam. He learned by the Rabbi Natam and then he moved away. He didn't live there forever. If the Katzmicha, he moved away to a different city. He functioned as a rabbi. So he said, they quote that he sent a letter to Rabbi Natam. How can you say like that? The Ramban writes, he sent a letter, I think the Ramban or the Ritvor, maybe the Ritvor writes over here, that he sent a letter to the Rabbi Natam and the Shah Rabbani Tzorfas, because they all agreed with the Rabbi Natam. All the other Rabban and my friends agreed with him. So he wrote his poetic letter, Ezer Baisa Shetivnu Li Hamakoyin. Ezer Baisa Shetivnu Beza Mokman Chosi, Ein Baisa Sheren Shameis, in every house in Europe. Someone must have died at some time or another. They didn't die in a hospital like today. Everybody dies in a hospital. People died at home. They didn't have hospitals then. They had very few hospitals. So the people probably died at home, and every house is going to have a fork or a knife made from metal, a pot or a pan. So the cherev harei kechol becomes abi avos hatuma. So it's matami ba'ohel. So how can the kohen enter? How can the kohen enter? Rabbi Natam was not a kohen, so he was free to be machmer to say, "Well, God, not enter a house." Rabbi Chaim Cohen said, "It can't be. Make life impossible for me." So Rabbi Chaim Cohen himself held that the whole Rabbi Natam had a proof that Cherev Harek Echolol is Metami Bo'ohel. Here Tosfos quotes the proof, but the Ramban quotes longer proofs, other proofs. He quoted the Raya from the Pasuk. Where do you learn out that din of Bechalal Cherev Abimeis Abetz Ma'adam Abikover? How does the Pasuk sound? Kol Hashi'ig Al Penei HaSadeh Bechalal Cherev Abimeis. Kol Hashi'ig Al Penei HaSadeh Bechalal Cherev Abimeis. ובעצם מועד באדם. So the Gemara says, and that pasuk is talking about tumas ohel. And the pasuk says, ובנזיר פרקין גדול לעניין ohel. The Gemara says that pasuk is talking about ohel. And you learn that the din of cherev harek hachol from that pasuk. The cherev harek hachol is matami ba'ohel. That's about all the assumption of Rabbi Natan. And the Rabbi Natan also holds that Kohanim are not allowed to come in contact with the cherev harek hachol. So Rabbi Chaim Kohen disagrees with the both ideas of the Rabbi Natan. He says that cherev harek hachol is matami ba'ohel is not correct. Either Rabbi Natan had a raya from the Mishnah and a Hola, so he's misalak the raya. It's a long argument in the Ramban. Tosafot doesn't quote it, so it's not important right now to go into it, but it's sometime. The fifth time you learn Bava Basra, it's kedai to look through the whole Ramban to see what the whole raya was. And then he has another argument that appears in Tosafot at a few places that we don't accept the Rabbi Natan for a different reason. Even if you have a cherev harei kecholo, a kohen is permitted to touch it. Even though it's certainly mitame b'maga b'masa, that everybody agrees. Cherev harei kecholo mitame b'maga b'masa. Rabbi Chaim Kohen holds it. It's not mitame b'ohel. Rabbi Menitam holds that it is mitame b'ohel. Rabbi Chaim Kohen holds it. Even though you say cherev harei kecholo, it goes down a madrega. Just like the Rabbi Menitam himself also held it goes down. But the Rabbi Menitam on the first daf from Bava Kama, the base on base says it goes down. That the cherev harei kecholo can't make another cherev harei kecholo, so that he agrees that the tuma goes down a little bit, not exactly the same level. Rav Chaim Kohen holds it goes down even more than that. That the cherev harei kecholo is not metami ba'ohel; it's only metami b'maga b'masa, but not ba'ohel. And then Rav Chaim Kohen holds another point that a kohen, this we discussed already once, that there's a line in Maseches Smachos. Maseches Smachos is one of the Mesichtas Ketanis that was composed in the days of the Gaon. Smachos means Hilchas Avelos, we call it, a euphemism. Instead of calling it the Dinim of Avelos, they call it the Dinim of Simchot. Maseches Smachos is a Loshen Nikiya, Loshen Saginah. So the Maseches Smachos, you have Maseches Sofrim, and Maseches Gerim, and Maseches Tzitzis, a whole bunch of Mesichtas that were written. It looks as if it's Mishnayos, but it wasn't edited by Rabbi Yonah Nasi. It's not from the days of the Tanoim, it's from the days of the Goyim. So the Goyim have a line there that never really appears in the Gemara explicitly anywhere, and the Rabbi Natan disagrees with that line. This part does appear in Tosafos and Brachos, and other beginning of Ksubis, when you learn the second plot in Ksubis, it appears there. It says in Maseches Smachos, Kol Tumah Sheino Nozer Megalech Aleha, Ein HaKohen Muzer Aleha. The din is that a Nozer is not allowed to come in contact with a mace. And if he does by accident or b'mezid, b'shogeg of b'mezid, it doesn't make a difference. V'chiyomis meisol v'fesa pisom. And if accidentally the Nozer does become Tameh, so then it says he has to shave off all of his hair. He has to start counting all over again. Let's say he was Mekabel Naziris for 100 days. He can't be Mekabel Naziris less than 30 days. Always a minimum of 30 days. But you can be Mekabel Naziris for more than 30 days. Mekabel Naziris, Gemara tells the story that a woman was Mekabel Naziris for 7 years. And then Heleni Hamalka, Queen Helena, she was Mekabel Naziris, she was Jewish, so he was Mekabel Naziris 7 years. And then she lived there, she was a queen in Chutzlort somewhere. And then she came to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Karbonis. They said, sorry, the Yemei Naziris is not Oilan Chutzlort, because all of Chutzlort is Dina Kebeis HaKvoris. Pashup Shad, it's a Pashta, says that it's a Dima de Rabbanim. There's Tumas Eretz HaAmim, all of Chutzlorts. The Rishonim said, because of Beis HaMabul, the Mabul affected the whole globe, with the exception of Eretz Yisrael. The whole story of the Mabul was a miracle. So the Gemara in the last Perkan Sered has a tradition, some of the Avraham, not all, some of them say the Mabul, even though there are no walls separating, and the water should slush all over the place, by the pull of gravity, the water should be all over. There are no walls separating Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Lord. So the Gemara has a tradition that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. So where are all the Mesei Mabul, all the people are dying. So they're strewn all over the place, and the body's decomposed. So all of Chutz Lortz is like one big based on Chorus. The Kohanim are not allowed to go in Chutz Lortz. That's a question that they discuss on Yerideya. How come today the Kohanim all go out of Chutz Lortz? Kohanim all go to Chutz Lortz. What's the Heta based on? So Rabbi Kevega there quotes one of the Achronim who gives a suggestion why they're Mekel. But the Gemara said Beferish, they're not allowed to go. Gemara said Beferish, not allowed to go to Chutz Loretz. The Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin says the Kohanim are not allowed to go to Chutz Loretz, that the Din Tumas Eretz Amim applies to the Kohanim. So the Maseches Machas has a statement that the Mishnah in Nazir says if the Nazir v'chayamis meisol b'fesa pisim, if the Nazir comes in contact with a meis, v'shegig of the meisid, yam harishanim yiplu, let's say he already counted 95 days out of 100 days of Naziris, everything is discounted because you have to have all 100 days with Sufim. And when he's tummy meis for 7 days, those days are not oila, yimei nizirusoi. Or same thing if it becomes a mitzora. So mitzora is hukish lemeis. Because when Miriam was mitzara, so Aaron said, Altina kameis, she betzei samirachimim, or yachol chatzi besora. So he asked Moshe Rabbeinu to daven for his sister Miriam, she shouldn't be like a meis. So the Gemara learns that dinam, that the mitzora is hukish lemeis. So if the nozer becomes a mitzora, he's dinu kameis, so then that period of time is not oila. And the Mishnah says, Hayam Roshanim Yitla, you have to start all over again. So the Gemara says, sometimes you have Tumas She'ena Nozim Megalechala. Sometimes the Tumas Meis, the 7 days that is Tomei, and he has to count Hazor Shlishi Shvi and have the Hazors. He has to have the Hazors on Shlishi Shvi. Sometimes those 7 days are not Oyla, but it's not Soyser. He's not Megalech. He doesn't have to shave off all the hair and start all over again. So one of the examples is if he comes in contact with the Cherev Harei Kohol, the Mishnah Nozim. So they go on and write in Maseches Moches, any Tumah she'ena Nozim Megalech Aleho, ena Koyin Muzer Aleho. The Koyin is not Muzer on that. How do you define what that's all about? So the Rambam explains, the Koyin is only prohibited from coming in contact with the Meis. He's permitted to come in contact if you have Tumas Meis, without actually having Atzmushal Meis, so that's Mutter for the coin to come in contact. These are only his Atzmushal Meis. So he spoke about it, that there are two examples. One is Sof Tumalotzeis, there's Tumas Meis without actually having a Meis, and another example is Cherev Harei Kohol. So on the Sof Tumalotzeis, the meaning always was Lahachmir. So we mentioned, I think, the Transadeshan or the Marik, one of them is quoted in Yeridea. Even though really they should be the same, but since for many generations the practice of the Kohanim was that there would be machmir on that, so we leave it like that, not to be mevat l'minig, shalodu shaber is aminig, we leave it like that, so we tell the Kohanim they shouldn't come in contact with seif tumah batzeis. But as far as the cherev harei kecholol, that there never was a minig to be machmir like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the Kohen is not allowed to enter a house but there's a cherev harei kecholol, there never was a minig lahachmir, so then we're mekel, even though it doesn't make sense. If you make a land cherev harei kecholol, because it's not atzmus shel meis, so the sof tumalot is also not atzmus shel meis. It's only tumas meis.
Didn't we say that Reb Chaim Cohen doesn't think that there's tumah at all? Didn't we say that Reb Chaim Cohen doesn't think there's tumah at all?
He holds that cherev harei kecholol is not mitami ba'ohel.
Oh, at all.
Right. It's only mitami b'maga meras and not mitami ba'ohel. That's one thing. Then he said another thing, even to touch the cherev harei kecholol is also mutta. Even if you touch it, it's also mutta because it's a tumah she'ena nozim megalechala. He's not in contact with the meis, right? So those are the 2 points that the Rabbeinu Tam's kasha over here is based on his assumption the cherev harei kecholol is matami ba'ohol. So Rav Chaim Cohen disagreed with that. Then he also disagreed with the other idea that that the Rabbeinu Tam held that cherev, he thought that we don't rely on the maseches sof maseches moches, it's not from the Gemara, it's from the Gaonim, and what we shouldn't necessarily always follow things that the Gaonim say. The Rambam also very often, the Rambam agrees with this maseches moches, but he also very often will disagree with the Gaonim. So that's a famous tesis. This tesis is Bechavis, Ayde Mateches. The kasha of the Rabbeinu Tam is a famous kasha. The two answers that he gives are both very questionable answers, whether they're correct or not. The Rashash in the back of the Gemara tells you to look in his commentary on Mishnayos HaOlos that he thinks that they're both wrong. Okay, the both answers of Rabbeinu Tam are not correct. Okay, but that's a question. There's an interesting tesis here on Yutes on the base. The Gemara was discussing Shmuel's din. Rocket came in a ma'id b'chalom because Shmuel came up with a new din. That since you personally don't plan to leave the rocket there permanently, you're probably going to take it out. It's edible, or you're going to feed it to the animals, whatever. So therefore, if it's not there permanently, so it's not chotzitz b'fnatum. So the Gemara asked typically that the rokik is the dav hamakabel tumah, dav hamakabel tumah, whatever is roil achil asadim. It's dav hamakabel tumah and choytzitz b'fnei tumah. So the Gemara answers, it's not makabel tumah because it's oichlim. And oichlim, in order to be makabel tumah, has to have kiyut and mayim alzer, has to have hechsher mashkim, has to have either mayim or one or the other. There is zayin mashkim, and the Rosh HaTeva said yad shoch adam. So the Gemara says, shari loy shabi mei peris. So Tosis has an interesting comment. Shani lo shalim mei peres on Yutes of Meis. One line Tosis. Havi matzi l'shinui. The Gemara could have given another answer. Gron she'en bo kebeitza. What's a din if you have food that doesn't have a kebeitza? You have food that's roi l'achil asadam less than the shir kebeitza. So then the Gemara says it's makabel tumah, but it can't if the oichel touches a mashke, if an oichel is tomei. And it touches the mashke. An oichel can never become an avatuma. Oichel can only become rishon sheni, and so on. Can't be an avatuma because there's a gemara at the end of the ervin. Kol davar she'ein ein lo tar b'mikve ina nasa avatuma. From the four things that have a kabel tuma, adam mekelim ochel mashkim. So the only the first two adam mekelim have tar b'mikve. A kli cheres is a kli, but it doesn't have tar b'mikve. The other kelim that have a kabel tuma have tar b'mikve. And Adam has tar b'mikveh. If you have an Adam who doesn't have tar b'mikveh, let's say a nochri, has no tar b'mikveh, so therefore he's not mekabel tumah in the first place. That's what Tosis quotes over here. You take a look in the Tosis on Chof and Aleph, Avi Kachovim, Shiyasha b'halom. The Gemara quoted a Mishnah about an Avi Kachovim sitting in the window. So Tosis says, "Dav kacham ein mekabel tumah." Kid enafklo mikro, the perik basra denazir. It's not perik sheni, not the second perik. It's perik basra denazir. The name of the perik is hanochem ein lehem. If a nochri is mekabel ned nazir, so it's not chal. So the Gemara derives it from psukim that a goy can't be mekabel ned nazir. It's tichsiv, and the Gemara there says, and the Gemara says. A nochri is not mekabel tumah. How do you know? Because it says isha sheit mavoyes chato, and he enters into the beis hamikdash. If a tumah enters the beis hamikdash, he's chayv kores. V'nichras mitoch hakohol. So this is to the exclusion of nochrim yotzah v'kachavim she'en lo kohol. The nochri doesn't belong to any kohol. So that's a famous line in the Gemara. The Gemara says a nochri is not mekabel tumah because it can't be tohar. Adam is only mekabel tumah if he could possibly become tohar at the end. But since the nochri is not a member of any kohol, not a member of the Jewish kohol, that fushona, is not even a member of the goyish kohol, there's no concept of kohol by nochri. That's famous. Everybody always quotes the Maharal Miprag, writes like that. That the Jewish people have the concept of a tzibur, an eidah, a kohol. By nochri, there is no such concept. Why not? What do we have that the Nochem don't have? Why, by Nochem, they have mishpocha, but they have no kohol. A goy means, we must have spoken about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Alech Elcha Me'atzcha Me'alabdcha Me'esa, Alech Eschel Goy Gadol. V'nirvichu B'chol Kol Mishpocha Yisro Adoma. So the Pasuk makes a contrast that the Jewish people are the goy. We're the only goy. Mi'kam Chesol Goy Echad Baruch. We're the only goy. The goy Malpidin are not really goy. In Tarach, they refer to it all the time as Goy Huarotza, is that's a Melitza. That strictly speaking, a Nochri is not really a Goy, because the Goy is Miloshin Giviyah, a body, means that all the people that belong to that nation constitute one big goof. It's as if it were one big Giviyah. But the Nochri, each person is individual. They don't have any tzir. They have a concept of Mishpacha. Mishpacha means people are related to each other, uncles and aunts and cousins and parents and grandparents and so on. They're related to each other, but they're separate individuals. They don't blend in to become one big tzir. That concept of a goy Kohol, an Eda, only applies to Bnei Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel has a Melitza. The Gemara has a Din, Gershon is got Kotten Shanela Domi. So he said, we spoke about it on different occasions, that when a Goy converts, he's no longer related to his previous relatives. So strictly speaking, Menatar is permitted to marry his sister. If a brother and a sister both converted, so he's permitted to marry his sister. Or let's say a father and a daughter, so the daughter is convert, not Jews, and the father is a wealthy man. So when the father dies, the daughter converted, became Jewish, so the daughter doesn't yarshin the father, because kikotin shenala dami, she's not related anymore. With the rabbanon, they made a takana that the ger yorish esaviv, with the rabbanon, because if you leave it on the din deraisa, this may encourage the ger to convert back to his former religion. It won't help palpitin, even if it converts back, he's still considered Jewish, and he still doesn't yarshin the father. But people won't know that, so they may think that it's worth converting back to their former religion in order to get the millions of dollars of Yerusha. I mean, the Rabbanan made a din that the ger does Yarshan. But Min HaTorah, the din is that the ger is any Yorish HaSavi because Kekot Nishanola Domi. And the Gemara says in Yavamis that if two brothers convert, so they're kosher leiders together. They can sign a ksuba together. They're not considered brothers anymore. The din of Gershon is Karkot and Shanala Dom means that he's not related to his relatives that he had before, not related anymore. That's what it means in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has a comment. Gershon is Gayer. He was an Olam Olay when he was a Goy. He wasn't part of a big nation. When he converts, he becomes a little cog in a big machine. He becomes Kut and Shanel Adam. He becomes one part of the whole club of Israel. Goldman was a guy. He wasn't a cog in a big machine. He was a Oilam Ola Bifnei Atzmai. So Yosef Engel explains Dinan based on that Hezber. Why you say Kut and Shanel Adam? Why didn't we say Gershon got Kut and Shanel Adam on the occasion of Maimon Hasina? So he gives a whole explanation, a logical explanation based on this idea. Anyway, this idea that there's no kohol for the goyim, that's, so it's the yodua people quoted from the Maharal Mipra. But Rabbi Yosef Engel in his essay, he doesn't quote the Maharal Mipra, he quotes the Gemara in Nazir. The Tosfos quotes over here. From the Gemara Nazir Perek Basra, the Gemara says, kohol to the exclusion, yotzav gechavim, she'en lo kohol, since by goyim, they're not part of a kohol, not part of a whole tziruf, of a whole eda, of a whole umah, a whole nation, a goy, so therefore he doesn't have tara b'mikveh, so whoever doesn't have tara b'mikveh can't become tami in the first place. That's how the Tanaim established this din, that a goy is not the kabal tuma. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a sefer on Emunah. It's called Emunah's Vedeus. I saw somebody, Rav Sadia Gaon, they usually write a Rosh Hashanah, Reish Samach Gimel. So some big professor didn't know what Reish Samach Gimel stood for. Rav Sadia Gaon, he wrote the sefer Emunah's Vedeus. So he thought that it's Reish Samach Gimel is 263. So he wrote in the book, but that is 263 ideas by Rav Sadia Gaon. Said, so they thought that's part of the title of the book, 263. It doesn't have 263 ideas. It's Rosh Hashanah of the author of this sefer, Rav Sadigun. There's a line there, which Rav Soloveitchik used to interpret as follows. What distinguishes the Jewish people? How come we're the only ones? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Eschol Goy Gadol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he's going to make Avraham Avinu into a Goy. And the other people, the other nations in the world, are just mishpachas. They're individual people who relate to each other. They're mishpachas, but they're not a goy. So Rav Sadia Gaon has a comment. Einam osainu uma ela b'toyrosa. So Rav Soloveitchik is to interpret, that's what it means. What makes the Jewish, what is the mitzaref of the klal yisod that makes us into a nation, into one nation? So he says the fact that we have the Torah, that unites all the Jewish people together. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, based on that that's the reason for the minhag. When you bent for Shchoidesh, the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah and he screams out, Chaverim Kali Sov V'Naim Ramein, And then it says, Rosh Chodesh, yeah, whenever, when you bench Rosh Chodesh, he tells you when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Why does he hold on to a sefer? Because years ago, it was the responsibility of the Bezen HaGadol, the Rambam writes like this, it was the responsibility of the Bezen HaGadol to establish when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Because Bezen HaGadol has two dinim. First of all, it's the Supreme Court, the highest court that the Jewish people have. So they have the final say, and whenever they pass on the shaila, Hilchas Muktzah dinim, the Raisa dinim, Rabbanan, everybody has to follow the psak of the Bezen HaGadol. If you pass on against them, it's a din of Zokan Mamre. And number two, the Bezen HaGadol is like the Congress, that they represent the citizens. Whenever you need Das HaKohol, there are a few dinim that depend on the Das HaTzibur, so whatever the Bezen HaGadol says, you don't have to take a poll to find out what each and every person has to say. Whatever the Bezen HaGadol says, that's considered as if they represent the Das HaKohol. So Rav Soloveitchik brought a lot of rayas to establish the idea that Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra Hashana, the Kviyas HaLuach, is really accomplished by the Jewish nation. So let's say this year is Hashanah Mu'beres. It's going to be an Od Hasheni. So all the people have to decide that it's going to be Hashanah Mu'beres. So the din is, usually Bezen HaGadol decides that it should be Hashanah Mu'beres. They decide which year should be Hashanah Mu'beres. And at the end of each month, they're mekabalim, and they decide whether the month that's coming to an end should be Chodesh Moleh, 30 days, or Chodesh Chosah, 29 days. The Bezen HaGadol is in charge of Kviyas HaLuach. Bezen HaGadol has already ceased to exist centuries ago, a long time ago, because he can't confer smicha and chutz laretz. There's no longer any Bezen HaGadol. So how do we still have Shabbos happens by itself? Shabbos is Kviya B'kaima from Sheshes Meibresh. How do you have Yamim Tovim? All the Yom Tov depend on Rosh Chodesh. There's no Rosh Chodesh. You can't have any Yom Tov. So the answer is, since the Bezen HaGadol only functions, it's not a matter of paskening an abstract or shayla. It's a question to determine, should this year be a shana pshut or shana mu'beres? It's not a shayla in halacha. It's negel halacha. But there is no sofik in din. There are political considerations whether you should make a shana mu'beres or not. Usually the Gemara says you don't make a Shemitah year of Shana Mu'beres, because it's hard enough to observe Shemitah in 12 months, so you're going to make it even harder to have 13 months. So when you would have a Bezen HaGadol, they would not make a Shemitah year into a Shana Mu'beres. A political consideration. And about making Rosh Chodesh also, sometimes there are political considerations, there are other non-halachic considerations. We have today a whole system of the calendar. We rig the calendar that not al pi halacha. We don't want to have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, because you don't bury Mesim. You bury Mesim on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, and you bury Mesim on Yom Tov Rishon Yedei Nochrim, Yedei Amimim. But on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you don't bury Mesim at all. So if you're going to have 2 days in a row, if Yom Kippur is going to be on Friday or Sunday, there are going to be 2 days that you don't bury Mesim. Say they didn't have freezes. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have any freezes. So that would be a tragedy. Someone dies, and you're not going to bury him for 2 days, for 48 hours. The body's going to decompose, going to smell. It's going to be a bizayin ames. So the Chachamim who set up the system of the calendar, Hillel HaSheni, that was a descendant of the Hillel, the famous Hillel. So he set up, that was in the days of Abai Rava. The Abai Rava lived in Bavel. During their lifetime, the calendar was established by the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael, who had smicha, who were members of the Bezen HaGadol. So they were the ones who set up the system of the calendar. So that's one of the klolim they put in. They don't want to have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, because you'll have Mason won't be able to be buried for 2 days in the market. There's other reasons why. They don't want to have Hoshanah Rabbah fall out on a Shabbos either, because you won't have Chibat HaRovah. Chibat HaRovah, HaRovah, son, Hoshanah Rabbah is only a minik, but still, they didn't want to be mevatel chibat harov. So it's not really a shayla paskening. It's not a shayla what the din is. We know what the din is, but we sometimes take into consideration other factors. So that's the Bezen HaGadol has to do that as representing klali. So bizman hazeh that there's no Bezen HaGadol. So the Rambam sounds very much the Rambam, both in the Mishnah Torah and in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam has a long essay on Kiddush HaChodesh and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Usually he has just a short paragraph on every mitzvah. Kiddush HaChodesh has a long essay, because he's fighting against the Karaites who lived. He often has a polemic against the Karaites, both in the Mishneh Torah and in the other Svarim. So he has a long attack against the Karaites, and he explains what the Kiddush HaChodesh is all about. So the Rambam writes that Bizman Hazeh, who makes it into Shana Mudbaris, who makes it into Rosh Chodesh? The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lars are not called Klal Yisrael. Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, they're called Klal Yisrael. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Based on this, Rav Sadi Gaon, Einam Aseinu Huma, Elo B'Tarosa, the Torah is what's Mitzaref, all of Klal Yisrael, to be one big call, one big Eida, one big Tzibur, Goy, Eschel Goy Gadol. So that's why the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah, and he says, even though it's in Chutz Lars, we do it in Chutz Lars, and the Rambam says the Iker of Kviyas Halacha is done by the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Even though in the days of the Rambam there were barely any Jews in Eretz Yisrael, there weren't so many Jews. Who were the Jews in Eretz Yisrael? 10 farmers, maybe. There were 10 farmers, not learned people. But still, the Rambam says, we in Chutz Lars follow what the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are kaveya, and they follow the Luach that was established by Hillel HaSheni in the days of Abai Verova. So the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah. He says, Chaverim Kol Yisrael, V'noimar Amen. We're all Chaverim together. We all constitute one big Tzibur. And we're all announcing together, the Jews all over the world made up their mind, according to the guidelines of Hillel HaSheni, when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. And we decided whether it's going to be or the Sheni or it's going to be Nissen. Yeah. Over Shabbos, I was sitting at the table with a fellow who composes the Nigudim. So he understood, I think he misunderstood, that tefillah, how do you say the tefillah? When you bench Rosh Chodesh, they say a tefillah. Shosin Nisim Lapsana Golos and Yavdus Lacheris, or Yigolos and the Kurvi Kabis and Lacheris, Yavba Kamp to the Arts. Chaverim Kol Yisrael V'noimar Amen. So he understood that to mean, when Mashiach will come and we'll have the Gula, then we'll be all become Chaverim. And now we're not unified. So he's in the process of composing a whole Nigin, based on his assumption. The Chaverim Kol Yisrael doesn't apply now. It will apply. What's his name? A.B. Rottenberg. He's a famous songwriter. So he was sitting by the Sheva Brachas that I attended. He was telling us about the new Nigin that he's composing, and he got Mishpocha magazine involved in this, a whole story. So we told him we don't think, the Kala's father told me he doesn't think that that's Pshat in the Tefillah. Chaverim Kol Yisrael, now we're all Chaverim. He has his own understanding of things. Okay. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. The fact that we have the Torah and the Umos HaOlam don't have the Torah, that's what makes us, that's the Mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. The Umos HaOlam don't have a Torah. So they have nothing to be Mitzaref them, so they're all considered like Yechidim. Okay, so getting back again over here, when the Gemara said, the Rokik is not Chaitzitz Bifnei Atumah. So Shmuel came up with that Chidush, and he asked a lot of kashas, and Shmuel feels compelled to defend his position. He keeps on varemphing all the kashas they're going to ask against him. So Shmuel came up with the Chidush. If the Rokik is only there in the window temporarily, it's not there permanently. So the din is that it's not chaytzitz b'fnei atumah because it's only there temporarily. So the Gemara asks, why does he have to give this reason? Say, because the rokik is meichal adam. Meichal adam is mekabel tumah. Kol dovash ha-mekabel tumah enu chaytzitz b'fnei atumah. The tumah goes into the rokik and then it doesn't prevent him from going further. Tumah penetrates the rokik and the mele, it can go through to the other side of the window also. So the Gemara said, niloshe b'mei peiris. That Oichel is only Mekabel Tumah if it has Hechsher Mashkim, and this didn't have any Hechsher Mashkim. The next place is May Peris. They quote Rabbeinu Chananel that he gives an example that May Peris is Shemin. Usually Shemin means Shemin Zayis. The Tais says, what are you talking about? Shemin Zayis is one of the Zayim Mashkim. The Rosh HaTeva said Yad Shach Adam, the Shin of Yad Shach Adam is Shemin Zayis. The Tais says he's wrong. Rabbeinu Chananel is wrong. It can't be. Shemen Zeis is one of the Zayim Mashkim that are Machshel LeKabel Tumah. If you have orange juice, that's May Peiros. That's not Machshel LeKabel Tumah. If you have grape juice, or something else, lemon juice, that's not from the Zayim Mashkim. That's May Peiros. But Shemen, Yayin and Shemen, are true there. May pay risk, but that's those are two of the Zayin Mashkim. The Zayin Mashkim are established based on Psukim in Chumash, which are the Zayin Mashkim. So Tosfos has a comment here. When the Gemara said the Eloshim may pay risk, they could have just as well given a different answer. We mentioned yesterday that today in America, the flour is all bleached. It's all, they wash off all of the kernels of grain before they grind them up. So the flour is all bleached in America, so everything had Hechsher Mashkin. In fact, years ago there was a whole scandal. The Congress found out that the flour companies were falsifying. They sell you a bag of 5 pounds of flour. So they came to the realization you don't have to give the customer 5 pounds of flour. You can give them 4.99 pounds of flour and pour in a couple of drops of water that'll add to the weight, so it'll be equal to 5 pounds. But it won't be 5 pounds of flour. It'll be 4.5 pounds of flour and 0.5 pound of water. If you put in too much water, so it's going to be, it'll be obvious that you're fooling the public. There's going to be a puddle of water inside. So they figured out what's the maximum amount of water that you can put into a bag of flour that to load it down, and all of the water will be absorbed by the flour, and the customer won't realize that he was cheated. So the government found out that a lot of, American government found out, this is before you people were born, it's a long time ago. So they found out, that's a shaila, stam flour that you buy, stam kemach min hashuk, does it have the din of chametz, or safik chametz, or chametz nukshe? That was the question. So some Acharonim say it's a safik chametz. It's a safik chametz. Others say it's only chametz nukshe. Yeah, but if they pour in water, so then, and it's sitting in the water for a long time, it absorbs the water, so it's taka shash. So the Congress found out that quite a few flour companies were in cahoots and they were doing this shtick. So they penalized them a fortune of money because they were cheating the public. They weren't giving them the full 5 pounds of flour. It was false advertising. There was a scandal in the papers 34, 40 years ago, a long time ago. So Tosfos says, instead of saying the answer, the Elosha b'may peris, the Gemara could have just as well have a matzah l'shnei, the Gemara could have given a different answer, kagon, shein bo kibetza. V'masechus aholus, and the Mishnah is choshev, pochus mikibetza, oichlim, b'hadi hanach, that a mematim es ha-tefach. It's considered a dover sheni b'kabal tumah. So Pachas Mikibetza Oichlim is a famous machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos and Rabbi Natam and a few mesichtes. And Psochem and a Nozir and a few other mesichtes. Rashi's opinion is, like it says in the Gemara, Pachas Mikibetza is makabel tumah min ha-Torah, but if it touches something else, it won't transmit the tumah. Makabel tumah min ha-Torah is not metam yachere. And the Rabbi Natam says that it's not true. Pachas Mikibetza is only makabel tumah min ha-Rabbanan. When our Torah is not mekabel tumah at all. So this is one of the Rabbeinu Tam's rayas, so in that Mishnah in Aholos, that if pachas mekabetz is mekabel tumah and our Torah just that it's not metami acherim, so then it should be enochaitzitz b'fnei atumah, because kol davar hamekabel tumah enochaitzitz b'fnei atumah. That's his taina against Rashi. In the sugi of Tam Kiikir and Psochem and in Nozir, Rabbi Natam interprets the Gemara based on that. So this Tosfos that Pachas Mikibetza is only Mekabel Tumah mid the Rabbanan, it's not Mekabel Tumah mid the Torah. Whatever is only Mekabel Tumah mid the Rabbanan is Chaitzitz Bifnei HaTumah. That's what they wrote in the Tosfos Ovi Kachavim on Chofim and Aleph. On the third line they said, Afa Gavta Nochem Asom Kizavim, Kevim mid the Raisa, but Mekabel Tumah. So it's Chaitzitz Bifnei HaTumah. So there by the Akim Kizavim, the Nochri is not really Mekabel Tumah. Even the Rabbanan is not Mekabel Tumah. Dina Kizav, but he's not a Dovah Mekabel Tumah. But you need that idea that Tosfos said to explain this Mishnah in Aholos that Tosfos quotes over here, and you test some Beish and Elosha b'mei Peris, that less than a Kedetza is Mekabel Tumah mid the Rabbanan, but because Ben Atar it's not Mekabel Tumah, so therefore it's Chaitzah it's Bifnei Atumah. There's a din. Schach has to have three conditions to make a kosher sukkah. has to be gedule karka, and has to be tolush, and has to be dov sheina mekabel tuma. So what's a dov sheina mekabel tuma? So let's say the apples and the pears and the oranges are dov hamekabel tuma. So we mentioned yesterday that samachloik and sachrein, and what if the apples were lo huchshavu? They weren't rinsed off with water. So it's not mekabel tuma, but the apples are a dov hamekabel tuma. The menigit to this din over here called dov hamekabel tuma and a choitzes pefnei atuma. Mora said the favorite, it depends whether it's huchshav or not huchshav. Depends whether the opening of the cheres in this direction or that direction. Doesn't depend theoretically if it's a dova hamakabel tuma. Is it if it's makabel tuma now, then the tuma penetrates it, so it's not chutz, it's bifnei tuma. Over there by sukkah, you're not talking that there's any tuma. You're just talking in abstract. So there it's a machlokes in achrayim, whether oichlim that were never huchshuru lekabel tuma, if it's gedule kark and tolush, apples. But they were never rinsed off. They were never washed off. So they're not mekabel tuma. So they say, but since apple is an urchal, that it's well, theoretically it's royal mekabel tuma. So it's no good ben atorah if it's chachar. It's only no good ben rabbanan. That was a machloikis sacharin. So there's a Pnei Yeshua at the end of the first perek in Sukkah, where he points out there's a din of gedlo v'doifek. When you bury a person, there's a question, what is gedlo v'doifek referring to? The din is that just like a mace is avi avoy satuma, so gedlo v'doifek that's on top of the mace is also dino like avi avoy satuma. And so on. So what does Golo Dafik mean? So Rashi says Golo Dafik means the lid of the coffin. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Rashi. This ties at the beginning of Ksubis and Brachis, Daf Yutes, in many different places. So they get to Avelis. The din is that Avelis, the Shiva begins from the time of Stimus HaGolo. So what does Stimus HaGolo mean? So Rashi learns when you put the mace in a coffin and you put on the lid, they didn't go to the cemetery yet. They put on the lid in the funeral home. Then it's going to take them a long time till they drive to Long Island, not to New Jersey, wherever they're going to bury him. So Rashi holds that the Shiva begins already. Rabbeinu Tam says it does mean that. Gol v'dofing means the matzeva on top of the mace. After the mace is buried, you finish the whole kvura. We follow the Rabbeinu Tam. We hold that the Shiva doesn't begin until after the Kvura is completed. It's a Tosfos quotes a din. If you don't plan to put the matzeva today, the common practice, you don't put up a matzeva right away. Most of the world, they leave the matzeva till the end of the year, Beis Chodesh. Some have the minig before the first yahrzeit, some have the minig after the first yahrzeit, because the Gemara says that the gzeira al ha'meis, that he should be forgotten if people. The Rebbe Shlomo doesn't want people to be aggravated throughout their lives. So let's say a person loses a relative, he's aggravated. There's what the Gemara calls Shas Chimon. He's aggravated over the death of the relative. So he'll be aggravated for the rest of his life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a blessing that we all have selective memory. We should use the selective memory to remember the happy things and to forget the aggravating things. Some people do the reverse. They use their memory to remember all the grievances that they have against other people. And they're always aggravated. The whole lifetime they're aggravated. They forget all the wonderful things and they don't forget all the terrible things. That's how the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk. It says, does a mother forget her little baby? Sometimes gamele tishkachna. Sometimes the mother will forget her little baby. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people so much, more than a mother loves her her baby, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forgets the Jewish people. He will always remember us. So there's a famous comment that the Medrash has on that pasuk, Gamele Tishkachna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has, so to speak, selective memory. He's going to forget when we said Eila Lehecha Yisrael, when we worshiped the eagle, but when he said Anochi Hashem Elokech, and we agreed, we accepted it, Anochi Lo Yashkachech, that he's not going to forget. He's going to remember the good things that we did, and he's going to forget the terrible things that we did. Everyone should have selective memory. You should always remember the happy things and forget the chase out of your mind, the sad things, the aggravating things. So that's why the minig usually is that you put up the matzeva at the end of the year, because usually people will forget about the fact that the person died after a year. He'll be mishtakech min alev after a year, so people won't be aggravated forever. So we put up a matzeva that we shouldn't forget the person. The purpose of the matzeva is not to forget the person. So some have the minig that your Rebbe Kiveger and you're there quotes the Tumen Halam. Some have the minig when you're coming to the Yud Beis Chodesh, we want to prevent people from forgetting the mace. We should remember him. We shouldn't forget him, the Gamre. So we put up the matzeva before the first Yahrzeit. Others have the minig. You wait till after you've already forgotten about the mace, after the Yud Beis Chodesh erupt, and then you put up the matzeva to remind you of the mace. Now in Eretz Yisrael, the practice is not so. They usually put up the matzeva after the Shloshim. But Rabbi Kiveger writes that the minig and chutz lords for many, many centuries was not so, that you don't put up the matzeva till after the year is up. So if you're not going to put up the matzeva the same day that you bury him, so you don't begin the shiva till hakamas ha-matzeva, a year later. According to Rabbi Natan, stimus ha-goyla, the goyla of the doifik is the matzeva and the stones that hold up the matzeva on the right and on the left. They used to have two stones hold up the big matzeva. So Taisa says, no, it means the gemar ha-kvura. When the kvura is finished, so let's say, what's the minimum amount? You have to have kvura b'karka. What's the minimum amount of offer that you have to put on top of the maize? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. He said, based on Gemara's, 3 tvachim. Less than 3 tvachim is not called kvura b'karka. You have to have a minimum of 3 tvachim of offer in all 6 directions, northeast, southwest. The orin is a rectangular shape, so you have to have on top and on the bottom 3 tvachim. And in northeast, southwest, you have to have 3 tvachim all over. That's why you're not supposed to bury 2 mason, one next to the other, within 6 tvachim of each other, because you need 3 tvachim to the left for this mace and 3 tvachim to the right for that mace, and they shouldn't use the same offer. Then they're burying 2 people together. Each dead body is supposed to have his own 3 tvachim. You can bury mason on top of each other, provided you have 6 tvachim of offer in between. So the bottom 3 tvachim of offer belong to the bottom aron, and the upper 3 tvachim of offer belong to, that's the bottom of the top aron. You have sometimes when the cemetery is full in different countries in Europe. When you visit Prague, you have like that. They have buried mason on top of mason. They buried the mason and then they dug out some of the offer. They put other mason men on top. Then sometimes they put mason on top of the ground. They have so many mason buried one on top of the other. So they took offer from another place and they put it on top. So you have to have, each oren has to have 3 tvachim on all 6 directions. So the kvura, the avelis, the shiva doesn't begin till the gemar ha-kvura. So if you plan to fill up the whole grave today, so that's part of the gemar ha-kvura, so fill up the whole grave. If you plan to put a matzeva today, so the shiva doesn't begin till you put the matzeva today. The common practice all over the world, you don't put up the matzeva right away. So whenever you finish all you're going to do for today, that's when the shiva begins. So the Gemara has in Erevin a din, the din of Goyle B'Doifek, that a Goyle B'Doifek, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Goyle B'Doifek is the matzeva. So the Gemara says, whatever material you made it from, it has a din of Goyle B'Doifek. It's just a machlekes satanoim. What if you used a live animal to serve as the goel v'doifik? What does that mean, a live animal? So Rashi learns goel v'doifik is the lid on the coffin. How can you use a live animal as a lid on the coffin? You've got to bury the live animal, you've got to bury him alive. So Tosis Tainus says, see that Rashi is wrong. Tosis in the beginning of Kesuda says, see that Rashi is wrong. How can the goel v'doifik be the lid on the coffin? Which meshugana is going to bury a live animal and put 3 tvachim of offer on top of that? And then Tosis has that famous comment, that's not a teyufte against Rashi, Because the style of the Gemara is the Gemara covers all the crazy cases in the world, even if it's never going to happen in a million years. So Tosfos proves that this is the case, because the Gemara in Bechoros talks, what if you have a cow that's pregnant, already for the, is giving birth to the second baby, the third baby. The first one was an Akeva, and this one is a Zohar. So now they took the Uber from this cow and they put it into another cow. The other cow never gave birth to a baby, but they put in an Uber that's not the, that cow was not the mother of this baby. They took in an Uber from a different cow, put it in, and then this cow gives birth to the Uber later, a couple of months later. So does it have a din of b'chor behemah Torah or not? The Tosfos said this is not going to happen in a million years. They say that today happens all the time. On all the farms they do it. They take an Uber from one cow, they put it into another cow. But they said, not going to happen in a million years, but the Gemara talks, that's the style of the Talmud Bavli. They cover every case in the world, even a wild case that's never going to happen. And then a few years ago, they had some genius Jewish professor from Yale. I think he was from Yale. He was in physics. He told us that he only agreed to speak in the yeshiva if they'll get him someone to teach him that Daf Yomi from that day. Because he lives in Boston, and every day he goes to a kollel there and he learns Daf Yomi. And he can't learn on his own. He needs someone to teach. So they promised him, they got him, one of the guys, to learn Daf Yomi with him. But then he was talking to a group of us, and he says his first love was law. First he went to law school. A super genius. I forgot his name. He went to law school, and he came to the realization, you can draw up a contract that's not covered by any of the laws on the books. If you know law well, you can draw up a contract that's not covered by law. And if you go to court, the judge won't be able to paskin because there are no laws. And he, now that he studies Daf Yomi, he became an observant Jew, and now he learns Daf Yomi. He came to the realization that in Jewish law there is no such thing. There's no case in the world that's not covered by halacha. That's what we pointed out once. The Shach writes in Choshen Mishpat, that Dina the Machus, it's the Ramah writes from a Chumash HaRashba, that Dina the Machus, Dina, you only follow the law of the land if one of the parties involved in the court case is a non-Jew. If both of the parties are Jewish, we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But then there are a few exceptions to the rule when the both parties are Jewish and we still follow Dina the Machus. So when is that? So the Shach writes on his own, if the Halach has nothing to say on the case, then we follow Dina the Machus. So the Chazon Ish has a comment on that Shach. There is no such case. Every case in the world is covered by halacha. You don't know what the din is, so break your head and figure out. The halacha either says that the chai is chai v'pata. So you have to figure out what the din is. It's not like in secular law. So this professor, he was so excited to hear that Shach with that Chazon Ish, because that's where he came to that realization. That in Jewish law, there's no case in the world that's not covered by the law. In secular law, there is. So he told us his first love was law. And then he was bored from that, and then he went into physics. So he invented the Kindle, that people sit on a train and they read books, and they have a million books in the Kindle. I forgot what his name was. And then he was bored. He has many patents on things based on physics, and now he's in genetic engineering. So the Daf Yomi that the day before, he came in the middle of Daf Yomi when they were learning Chulin. What are they learning now? Tainus, I think. This was Chulin a couple of years ago when they were learning Chulin. So the Daf Yomi spoke about a human being who's growing from the ground. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he shouldn't be surprised. No, such a thing really exists. They write about it in the Roman books on medicine. So he said it's not true. It doesn't exist yet. He's working on it. He said someday it may exist. He said the Talmud covers all the cases, even if they don't exist yet, someday they may exist. He's working on genetic engineering, and they told him what the guidelines are, what you're allowed to do. So getting back again. So the Girl of the Daifik, we don't accept Rashi, that the Girl of the Daifik is the lid on the coffin. Girl of the Daifik is the Matzeva. So Tosfos, yes, the Gemara in Erevin has a machlokes, I think Daf Tezvav. What if you have a live animal? Can a live, Tosfos quotes it over here, I think. They quote Rav Meir Shita. Where is it? Somewhere over here, Tosfos quotes from Meir Shita that Bali Chayim, Kol Davar Sheyesh Bo Ruach Chayim, doesn't have a din of Mechitza. Somewhere over here, I forgot already. So the din is that a girl of a doifik has tumah, like Abi Abayis HaTumah, whatever material it's made from, Bali Chayim is a machlokes. How can you use a Bal Chai for a girl of a doifik? So Rabbi Natam says, sometimes they didn't have the matzeva prepared. Today we never have it prepared. They didn't have a matzeva prepared. So they're going to make a matzeva and put it up tomorrow, the day after the middle of Shiva, they're going to put it up. So temporarily, they'll bang a peg into the ground where the person was buried just today, and then they'll tie an animal for a day, and we don't leave the animal there forever. We're not burying the animal alive like Rashi. Rashi learns the you're using the animal as the lid on the coffin, and you're burying him under three tvochim of offer. You're killing the animal. That's ridiculous. So using the animal, you're tying him onto the peg. So right now, the animal, the live animal, is serving as the girdle bedoifik, as the matzeva. So you should remember where you buried the mace. So that's the machlokes hatanan, where the live animal has a tumah of girdle bedoifik. This is quoted somewhere on this daf. There, a mayor holds that the din of girdle bedoifik doesn't apply to live animals. So the Pnei Yeshua has a comment that how can you, anything that's gidule karka and tolush, what do you mean? If it's dov hamakabel tumah, it's choytis b'fnei tumah, ain't hamakabel. Again, if it's dovaha, if it's roy lekabel tumah, then you can't use it for schach. It has to be gidule karka tolush, and it has to be a dovar she'ain hamakabel tumah. If it's makabel tumah, it's no good. So he asked Akasha, everything in the world is makabel tumah. Anything except for bali chaim, that's makabel. Anything in the world can become a girl of a doifik. To be mekabel tumah from if someone touches it when he's tameh, it has to be the four categories, or the mekele mochel mamashkin. If it doesn't belong to the four categories, not mekabel tumah. But if you're using it as a girl of a doifik, it becomes tameh. It doesn't have to be one of the four things. That how do you ever have any schach? Let's say, what do we use for schach? A mat, bamboo, branches of a tree, twigs, whatever. You can use that as a girdle bedoifik. It's everything in the world, anything that grows from the ground, that's tolush, is always going to be dov hamakabel tumah. It can always be tamei with the tumah girdle bedoifik. So the Pnei Yeshua answers, he's in disagreement, but Rashi and Tais is there, the end of the first parak in Sukkah. He said, that's not called dov hamakabel tumah. Like we said in the Tais, akam akazav. So Tais said, you see that the akam is makabel tumah midrabon. That's not called makabel tumah. If he has a riyaziva, he's a tumah yotzal megufa. Mekabel tumah means that this is tumah, and I touched it, so the tumah was transmitted for that to me. By the zav, the tipa ziva, what comes out of his body, what oozes out, is an avatumah. If it would metame him when it comes out of his male organ, that would make him into a rishon tumah. No, a zav is an avatumah. A balkeri is a machlekes rishon. Well, the balkeri is tumas riya, tumah yotzal megufa. But azav is tumah yotzal megufay. So azav is not a dova hamakabel tumah. You don't say all men in the world are dova hamakabel tumah because they can become, all Jewish men can become azav. That's not called mekabel tumah. He can become azav. That's yesh me'ayin. It's not that the tipa ziva is metamim. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua says at the end of the first parak in Sukkah. He says that any wooden material in the world that you want to use for schach could have theoretically been used as a girl of a doifik, and then it would be tomei. Not that it's mekabel tumah from the mace. No, mekabel tumah from the mace, it would be an avatumah. Why is it abi avois hatumah? It is tomei. Whatever function, whatever serves, it's like a tumah hayotza al megufa. Usually, tumah hayotza megufa is by a person. You have a zav zav, your lettuce and mitzora, they had something happened to them. Zav zav and nidi oleda, so mitzora. So that they had a riyas dama something, a riyas ziva, and they are tomei, not the mekabel tumah from the baby. The baby is born as tahor. A yoledes is tomei, but she's not mekabel. Not that she's mekabel tumah from the fact that the baby, she has leida, so that's mitamei her. Metzora. Metzora, what? The Negatzaras is Tomei, and the person is Mekabel Tumah from the Negatzaras. He is a Metzora. The person who is a Metzora is Tomei. It's not that he's Mekabel Tumah from Mibachutz. So that was our taina against this Tosfos. Why Tosfos gave the mashal? They said that by the Dibra Maschal of the Chachamim, Afal Gabta Chachamim Asom Kizavim L'chol Dibrayim. But since Benatora they're not Tomei, so that doesn't bother me. That is true. That klal that Tosfos developed is true. That's relevant to the case of Pachas Mikabetza. That Tosfos said Pachas Mikabetza is Mekabel Tumah Midrabanan. Radam Tomei touches it, or Dead Sheretz touches it, so he causes the Pachas Mikabetza to be Mekabel Tumah Midrabanan. So since it's not Mekabel Tumah in Atorah, so Tosfos quotes from the Mishnah and Holos that it can be Chotzes Bifnei Atumah. By the Akum, the Akum is not Mekabel Tumah, even the Rabbanan. He is Tomei, but he's not Mekabel Tumah Bibachutz. Tumah is not transmitted to him. Okay, the Kalal is necessary to explain the Din of Pachas Mikabetza. Then there's also a fascinating din. The Tosfos Dimascha the Tepiklei. Tosfos has a din. There are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah, other v'keilim ochlam and mashkim. So ochlam that's roi l'achilas sodom is mekabel tumah. What if you have ochlam that's roi l'achilas sodom and I decided to use it as a wall, as a roof? So then it becomes part of the building. Then it's no longer considered ochlam. So Tosfos asks, why do you say over here that the rocket came in my mind, Bachalon, Shmuel gave his reason. He must have taped lay. You have a different reason. That what? That it's Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara answered, we're talking about a case that it's Nilosh Ben May Peres. It's not Ruchshah Mekabel Tumah. It's not a Dov HaMekabel Tumah. So Tosfos said, but if you would be Mevatelit to the building, so then it would no longer be Mekabel Tumah. Because it's no longer considered Eichel. Once you made up your mind, it's going to serve as part of the wall, but then it's no longer Mekabel Tumah. That's what they ask. V'teima, if he would have been Mevatale to the Rokik, to the wall, im Yivatale Sula Mekabel Tumah, kide Muchach, the Perek Orva Reitev, that's the very end, towards the very end of Chulin, to Omar, Kupasor Sheyichto the Yeshiva, have Chometz rises, and I have a whole thing, and I decide I'm going to use it as a chair. I'm not going to use it as dough, I'm not going to make challah out of it, I make it into a chair. So the Gemara says, it's no longer, Kolzman, it was a raw dough, and it rose, so it's Oichel. It's a Mekabel Tumah. But once I designated it as a chair, so it's no longer Mekabel Tumah like Eichel. So why not say the same over here? So Tosfos says, V'yeshlaima, the Hosmar Kigon, the other Buhushina Maisa, just by making up your mind that I want it to be a chair, that doesn't make it Eichel. It's still considered Eichel until you do some Shin and Maisa to it. You have to throw. You can't sit on the raw dough. You're going to get your trousers all full of stuck with dough. You have to sprinkle something on top of it. You have to paint it or something. You have to do something to demonstrate that it's no longer Sa'or. To demonstrate that you're going to use it as a chair. And then Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Perakamba, the Sukkah, the end of the first Perakam Sukkah, that you always need a Shin and Maisa. And he quoted din and the Gemara. Kol hakel was a Mishnah. Kol hakel roedim day tumah machshav einam tumah al yedei shini maisa. let's say I shechted an animal and I removed the skin. And then I cut up the meat and I sell it in the butcher shop. So what do you do with the hide? So you're going to make shoes out of the hide. If you're going to make shoes, then it's not yet mekabel tumah because I didn't make the shoes yet. Once I make the shoes and they're ready to wear, I make gloves out of it, I make a leather jacket out of it. So once I make a kli out of it, so then it's mekabel tumah. What if I plan to use this leather, the sheet of leather, as a blanket? We're going to go have picnics in the park, and I want to have a blanket to put on the ground. And instead of having a blanket made from cloth, I want to have a blanket made from leather, and this is a good size. If I'm not going to use it the way it is, I have to make it in a rectangular shape because it's a sloppy mess now. I just removed it from the back of the animal. I removed the whole skin. So you're not going to use that as a leather blanket. But let's say I made it into a rectangular shape, and it looks nice, and it's shayach that people will use it the way it is. Other people will not use it as a blanket until they put designs on. They're going to make it fancy, colors, attach bells at the end, whatever. But if this fellow is not unreasonable, this fellow plans to use it as a leather blanket the way it is. And then Imar says in Bava Kamma, Perek Meruba, and Mishnah is like that. If he has intention to use it as a kli the way it is, then it's already called a kli. It's royal hishtamshes, it's called a kli. However, once it's royal kabel tuma, now I change my mind and I'm no longer planning to use it as a leather blanket. I'm going to make shoes out of it or gloves out of it. Shoes and gloves is not, you have to cut it up into parts and make the gloves. I make the shoes, I make the jacket out of it. So kol zman that I didn't do a shinim ma'ase, it's still roy lekabel tumah. That's called yoyed tumah al yedei machshava. If you plan to use the piece of leather the way it is now, it's not missing anything, and it's a normal, it's not crazy, it's not unreasonable, it's reasonable. If he plans to use it as a leather blanket the way it is, then the machshava alone makes it into a kli. But once it's already designated as a kli al yedei machshava, he don't say osi machshava mavatul machshava. If he changes his mind, he decides he's going to make shoes out of it. He has to do some shina ma'ase. He has to do something to it to make it ois kli. When I make it into the gloves, I make it into the shoes. Then it'll be roy lekabel tumah again. But he has to make a shina ma'ase to make it ois, to make it out of the category. So Tosi says that klal doesn't only apply to a kelim. It applies to food also. That gemar ha'arva raitiv, that if you have food that you use, you put it on top of your sukkah. Bayish ha'sicha, the second white line in the Tosfos, is a tepegle, on your Testament base. Bayish ha'sicha cha, we use the schach bizroim. So the din is that it's tohirim, it's not mekabel tumah. Why? Because it's no longer vegetables. He took carrots. He's going to use the carrots as the roof. For sukkah, it's no good because carrots are dov ha'mekabel tumah. Dov ha'mekabel tumah, machlek is whether it's menatar mid rabbanan no good, but it's no good as schach because it's dov ha'mekabel tumah. But it's not a sukkah. He's not using it for a sukkah. He's going to live there all year long. And he uses carrots as some kind of vegetable that's edible. But he already made it into the schach on the rooftop, so it's no longer mekabel tumah seichel. Why? So they said because you need a shirim ma'isa to make it ois seichel, to make it ois yod seichel. This is quotes from the first parak in the sukkah daf yedalet. There's a machlekes hatanai. Maybe this din ika tane the isle the binan shirim ma'isa even by yod seichel. Yod seichel, that's not the eichel. Yod seichel, let's say you have an apple. And has a stem on top. So some people would hold the apple by the stem. Instead of holding the apple like this, that's called a yad le'oichel. Or let's say you have an ear of corn. So you have it covered, till you rip off the shell on the outside. So sometimes you can hold the corn by holding on to the shell that it has on the outside. So that's called yad le'oichel. Yad le'oichel are also mekabel tumah. So if something was Yad HaEichlem and then I plan not to use it as Yad HaEichlem, I change my mind. So then you have to have, there's a machlek satana where they need shina ma'isa there. That's a machlek. Ika tana, the islay, even by Yad HaEichlem, you need shina ma'isa. But by Oichlem, for sure you need Shina Maisa. So that's what that says, you would need Shina Maisa. Yeah, these are important, there's a lot of important klolim here. Let's see, how far did we get yesterday? Let's see, on the fourth line from the top of Chofim, let's see again, Meisve, the Gemara is asking Akasha against Shmuel. Shmuel came up with this Chiddush. Shmuel came up with the Chiddush that that if you put something there temporarily, it's not chaytzitz b'fnatam. You have to plan to leave it there permanently. And that was a machlekes in Rishayim, based on the Mishnah in the end of Shabbos and the Gemara and Megillah. Tosis quotes the Gemara and Megillah. Where is that Tosis? Yeah, the end of the top Tosis on Chofim and Aleph. The top Tosis. He gufa techetz. The Tosis says, but Perek Sheni the Megillah, maybe it's Perek Basra, I forgot it, it's probably Perek Basra in the Megillah. Mohaz Zahu Bekanishna, the Yehudoi, the Jews had a shul, the Havit Psichas Lehahu in Druna. It opened up to another room, the Havit Bemisna. There was a dead body in the room adjacent to the shul. Bo Kahani Litzluye Bo, and the Kahanim wanted to daven in the shul. They didn't want to daven outside. But the doorway was open from the side room into the shul, and there was a mace that the Tum went through. So I think it was Rava, one of the Amorim told them, Dulu Tevusa, carry the Aron Kodesh, carry over, move over the Aron Kodesh, V'yosvua Abova, let it block up the whole doorway so the Tum won't be able to go through. So what was his intention there? He's going to leave the Aron Kodesh there permanently, forever. V'yitzorch bitol, and if Shmuel is right, this is asking, we pass like Shmuel, that Rocky came in my because you don't plan to leave it there permanently. V'yitzorch bitol, my behani high table. He's not going to use the Aron Kodesh anymore. The Gemara says that it's a kliyetz habob emida. It was a gigantic Aron Kodesh. It was machzik memsor. It was amalama brum gimalamas, had the volume of 3 cubic amas in it, so that's considered a cheder. That's not mekabel tumah. If you have such a gigantic wooden kli, it's not mekabel tumah. The airplanes are metal, so even though they're much bigger than memsor, but they are mekabel tumah. Unless it's aluminum and the shayla that we spoke about yesterday, not shayla. But if it's a wooden kli, the Aron Kodesh was wooden, so kli eitz habov emid, if it's gigantic, so it's not mekabel tumah. So Tosis says, but you're not going to leave it there permanently, it's only going to be there temporarily. So some Rishonim say the answer is, they're going to leave the Aron Kodesh there till the Chevek Kadisha come. Maybe it was Shabbos. Maybe it's a weekday. The Chevek Kadisha are going to come in another hour, and the Kohanim want to take Davin in the Shul now. So if you plan to leave the Aron Kodesh there, calls Man Shamesham, that from the perspective of the Thomas Meis, that's Le'olam Vod. The some Rishonim in Shabbos, some Rishonim give that answer. And Tosis here gives a different answer. Yitzor, Bitol, my Mahani Hayteva, the Mistama, they're not going to leave it there permanently. Yeah, but oh, so the one answer that Balei HaTorah gave in Shabbos is you're going to leave it called Zman Shah Meisham. After they take a Meisah, we're going to move the Aron Kodesh back. But oh, Tosfos has another Taina. It was an Aron Kodesh that usually held the Sefer Torah. So they're going to take out the Sefer Torah and use it for another purpose. So Tosfos says you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to because there's a din malam hakodesh v'lo maridna. Once this was used for an Aron Kodesh, so the Sefer Torah has the status of gufei kedusha, and the Aron Kodesh has the status of tashmishi kedusha. Let's say I have a tefillin zekel, I have a talis zekel. So talis, the Gemara calls a megillah. Talis says tashmishi mitzvah. So tashmishi mitzvah bizman mitzvasim calls man that I use the talis. You're not allowed to use it for secular purposes. Let's say I want to carry a package, so I want to wrap it in a talis and carry the package with the talis. I have a lot of money for tzedakah or whatever. I'm going to put it in a talis and tie it up and carry it. You're not allowed to use the talis for other purposes other than the mitzvah. After the talis is no longer useful for the mitzvah, let's say he bought a new talis and not going to use the old talis anymore. So after it's and he can't give it to the shul, nobody wants it. So the Gemara says, Tashmish and Mitzvah and Nizrakim, you're allowed to throw it out in the garbage. You don't have to put it in the Shemus. So once it's no longer used as a talis, so it no longer has the status of Tashmish and Mitzvah. But the talis Zekel, that holds the talis, that doesn't have any kedusha. The talis itself is tashmishe mitzvah. The talis ekel doesn't have kedusha. So the talis ekel you may use for other purposes, even bisman, even at the time that that the talis is still used by you. But tefillin has gufei kedusha. Tefillin have kedusha because you have parshas in it. So the tefillin is called tashmishe kedusha. So the tefillin zekel also has the status of tashmishe kedusha. Very often today people have a cloth tefillin zekel and then they cover it with a plastic cover to protect the cloth. So the plastic cover is called tashmish de tashmish. It's twice removed from the tefillin. So once the plastic cover of the cloth tefillin zekel gets ripped and it gets holes, you can throw it in the garbage because it never got the status of tashmish and kedusha in the first place. And the Gemara says in Megillah, it's twice removed. It's tashmish to tashmish. But the cloth tefillin zekel that holds the tefillin in it, that has the status of kedusha. Let's say the cardboard boxes that you put to protect the button. But that has the status of tashmish and kedusha because it's mishamesh the tefillin. You don't say that the tefillin zekel is twice removed because the batim are covered with the cardboard box, because the ritzuas are not in the batim, the ritzuas on the outside. So the ritzuas are an integral part of the tefillin. Tefillin have three parts. You have the parshias, the batim, and the ritzuas. So if the ritzuas are in the tefillin zekel, the ritzuas have already a status of kedushas tefillin. There are three parts to the tefillin. So the tefillin zekel has a status of tashmish kedusha. But the plastic cover on top of the cloth, that has the status of tashmish, that doesn't have kedusha. The Tais says the Aron Kodesh, if they plan to leave the Aron Kodesh there permanently, so they're not going to use it for the Sefer Torah anymore. They're going to put Sidurim in. You're not allowed to do that. This was Miyuchad for putting in a Sefer Torah. Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marin. You're not allowed to use it for anything of a lower significance. So this is what Tais proves. They proved their point in the beginning. In the beginning of the Tais, they said the difference between the ma'it b'chalon as opposed to soysim legamre. If you have something that soysim l'chalon legamre, even if you don't plan to leave it there permanently, kol zman that is soysim l'chalon legamre, so there's no hole for the tumah to go through. But if you only mean ma'it in the chalon, then shmuel's din applies. It has to be a thing that you plan to leave there permanently. If you're only leaving it there temporarily, then it's not ma'it in the chalon. But it can be soysim in the chalon. So Taisa said that's the answer to the Pshat and the Gemara Megillah. When the Yavorah said, put the Aron Kodesh to block the way, but they're not going to leave the Aron Kodesh there permanently. So after the Rishonim gave an answer, you're going to leave the Aron Kodesh there, called Mancha Amesham. After the Chevek Kaddish, you're going to come after davening, going to take the mace out and bury him. So after they take the mace away, then we're going to take away, then we're going to move back the Aron Kodesh. So that's considered called Mancha Amesham. That's from the perspective of Tumas Meis, that's Leonon Void. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskin like that. Mishnah Berurah paskin is like that by the mattresses, by the sukkah. If the sukkah is l'malam esamama, you have a whole stack of mattresses there. So if you mevatla mattresses, you're going to leave it there permanently. Then now if you're sitting on top of the five mattresses and the schach is within 20 amas, then the sukkah will be kosher. So what says permanently? So there's machloek is there, Rashi and Iran, the beginning of sukkah. Permanently means for 6 months. You're going to leave the mattresses there indefinitely. We're going to leave it there till the end of Sukkot. So the Mishnah Berurah says, till the end, he paskins lahokel, till the end of Sukkot is enough. So by the Tumas Meis, the Rishonim say also, if you plan to leave it there till Kol Zman Shehamei Sham, that's considered permanently. So we said there's another psak in the Mishnah Berurah, another case. The Mishnah Berurah has it in, I think we must have said it, we'll say it again. Mishnah Berurah has been, let's say, the people are visiting by their parents on Chanukah. They come Shabbos Chanukah, they stay by the parents, and they live in the same city. But for Shabbos Chanukah, they came with all their children to stay by their parents. So can they be Yotze Hadlokah Saneris? Has to be Hadlokah B'Beisa. Nerisha B'Beisa, you have to be Madlik B'Beisa. So is that B'Beisa? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, they're only living there temporarily. Permanently, they live at home. So even on Shabbos, they're neither going to eat at home, they're going to sleep at home, they're eating and sleeping by the parents. But since that's the permanent home, and this is only temporary, that's not called Beisel. Let's say you have to have Hadlokas Haneris also with Beisel on Friday night. So every so often, I speak in the yeshiva on Friday night, so I eat in the cafeteria, but I go home to go to sleep. So whenever there's a conflict, there's one place in Makom Achila, one place in Makom Shina. So we paskin, said Gemara in Erev, and we paskin Makom Achila Ezika, Makom Pita, where the bread is, where you're going to eat the meal. If you have two different apartments, in one apartment you sleep, in one apartment you eat, so the apartment two blocks away from each other. So the apartment where you eat, that's called the Beisa, as opposed to the place where you sleep. But I'm going to go home and sleep in my address. That's why I sleep all year long. I'm eating in the cafeteria once every couple of months. They invite me to speak in the yeshiva. So the Mokum Achila is only temporary. The Mokum Shina is the permanent one. So my wife has the bench licht at home, and the candles have to last so long that when I come back from spending the evening in the yeshiva, the candles are still going to be burning. Otherwise, I didn't get any benefit from the Neir Shabbos. You can't light a candle that's going to burn for a Hanukkah candle, going to burn for 45 minutes. You have to light candles that you use on Shabbos. If I'm going to come home at 12 o'clock, the candles will be out already, so you're not yet see anything. So the Mishnah Berurah has this thing. If the family is staying by their parents and they live in the same city, so if they live in the same city, their apartment is still called Beisam, even though they're eating, they're sleeping there till this Shabbos, but that's their permanent home. So they have to go back to be Madlak Neiris in their apartment. But if they're there by their parents for the duration of all the 8 days of Chanukah, then he says, from the perspective of Chanukah, they're there, the Olam Vod. From the perspective of Chanukah, that's the whole 8 days of Chanukah. So then he says they can be Madlik in the parents' home. But otherwise, if they're only there for Shabbos Chanukah, they're not Yotzei if they're going to be Madlik there. They have to go back home. Unless they live in a different city. They live in a different city, then if they're away from their home for Shabbos, then it's not called Beisam in the other city. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. I'd like to do some more tesis in here. Some of the tesis in here are Chofam and Aleph, the Gela Halacha, and then maybe we'll do the Chofam the base, the bottom Mishnah, the second Mishnah, but the Daf Chof Aleph and Aleph has Halacha instead, and the Gela Dina. Okay, and then Chof Aleph and base, Dina. But Hasogah's glue, opening up a business and competition with someone else. That is a new one.